Where do you see your career in 10 years? What are you doing now to help you get there? The sooner you start enhancing your skills, the sooner you'll be ready. That's why AARP has reskilling courses in a variety of categories like marketing and management to help your income live as long as you do.
That's right. AARP has a bevy of free skill building courses for you to choose from because the steps that you choose to take today will help you to love what you do in the future. And that's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we are talking prepping for a looming recession.
That's right, man. We are talking about what you should do with a recession on the horizon.
Did you like the foreboding in my voice in the intro?
The looming. Yeah, it's like you're reading a kid's horror story. But so the prepping part of it makes me think back to recently we talked with Nick Majuli, and he talked a little bit about prepping. So he lives up in New York, and as we were talking with him, he talked about keeping some water on hand.
That's right.
A certain amount of water, like in his apartment, which is something, I think I would do that, I guess, if I lived there in New York City when there's, you know, like millions and millions of people packed into a very small geographic location.
And then you have less room in your apartment to store things. So you're like, what do I store? But you're right. He said he had a mask ahead of time when nobody else in New York City, an N95 mask when no one else
did. Yeah. So I'm like, man, respect. Like major props to Nick for being slightly prepared. I mean, he's not like by any means an actual prepper where he's got, you know, meals or anything like that. Like we don't even have, I mean, we.
That you know of. We didn't get that far with him, but
that's true. He's like in the walls. This is where I keep my zombie slaying.
He didn't want
axe.
Everyone to know where he keeps his canned goods and
all of his goodies.
Where his root cellar is. Yeah,
I think I've mentioned this before, but I feel like I could see myself getting into that a little bit. Not because I necessarily think it's something that's going to happen, but just because it seems kind of fun, you know, just to be, it's, I mean, and we're going to get to this during this episode, but just to be able to kind of flex your muscles a little bit and be like, okay, if something were to happen, if it were all to potentially hit the fan, I would be prepared. That's what we're going to talk about when it comes to our money. Not necessarily that everything is about to completely go downhill, but that if it were to happen, that you would absolutely be prepared. That's what we're talking about today. And specifically, Joel's going to give his take on as to exactly when the recession is
going to
start.
Exactly when it's going to start, when it's going to end. I'm going to give, I've got my crystal ball out here and I will give my predictions. Well, no, but there are a lot of people who are giving their predictions right now, Matt. And so that made us want to actually talk about this today because if you read, pay attention, if you read newspapers, if you are on Twitter or whatever, you've probably seen the R word start popping up in your feed and you're like, when, where, what, huh? I thought things were going well and with the economy. So what the heck are we talking about a recession for? We'll get into that in this episode.
That's right, man. So we'll get to all that here later on. But first, a quick little story to share with listeners and our family. We are looking at a new house. And specifically, we put an offer in on this house. It got accepted. So that means we're technically under contract now. That's at this point.
A feat in today's market. Congratulations.
That is very true. However, here's where things get sticky. That thing didn't fully appraise, which is also not surprising given, you know, the rapid increase in home prices that we've seen here in Atlanta over the past year. We've seen an average increase of 20%. Luckily, this particular house has seen somewhat less of that full 20%. But regardless, it didn't fully appraise, which means... Do you know where I'm going
to
go with this?
There's a gap there that you got to come to the table with more money.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a gap between the 20% that we were looking to put down and what I have to put down now. So I thought we were going to, you know, have to just come to the table with a little bit more money. But then I was talking with my lender and he specifically said that, hey, you could always consider PMI. And I was just like, dude, private mortgage insurance, not for me. Have you listened to How to Money?
That's for losers. Check out my show.
However, even though that's something that we wouldn't normally recommend, this is a situation where I realized that it could make sense because, and specifically, it seemed like it was going to make sense maybe for two reasons. One of which, I asked him to shop it around and he was able to find PMI that was only going to cost $60 a month, which is pretty affordable. And then secondly, he said that they would offer a lender credit. So they were going to chip in $1,500 towards closing costs, which that would effectively pay for our PMI for 2 years. And so what that means is that at the end of that 2 years, then I'm going to have to pay for that PMI myself, right? Basically out of pocket. That's not a cost that has essentially kind of been subsidized. But by that point, there will be enough pay down on that balance to have reached that 20% in equity threshold. And so in this case, I'm not necessarily even counting on the home appreciating even more. It's just a matter of looking at the amortization schedule and seeing that literally, like I think it's actually 25 months past when we might be set to purchase the home, we will enter that territory. And so essentially that means we're going to be able to come to the table with a little bit less money. That's money that we will be able to continue to invest in the market or put towards other goals or other projects that we might have in mind. So wanted to share that because this is just one of those situations where the general rule of thumb like that we do often talk about here on the show doesn't necessarily apply.
Yeah, it makes me think there are a lot of things that we say on the show from time to time, and we're talking to a wide range of people who are in a bunch of different circumstances, and we're giving our best advice. And that doesn't mean that advice applies to every specific situation. It makes me think of, we hate when people take out loans for vehicles. Buying a new car and taking out some sort of 5-6 year loan, it's not ideal. And if it's an even longer loan, it's even worse, right? But if you have the cash on hand to pay for that car and you can get a 0% interest rate, well, that changes the game.
That's basically like, it's in my mind, it's sort of like a credit card with a yearly statement. Or like, it's like, hey, this statement doesn't actually hit for like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. And so our views are subject to change. We've recently talked about how our views have changed a little bit, at least, when it comes to how those buy now, pay later things work on websites when you're checking out. And the same is true for certain specific situations where the numbers pan out differently than they normally do. So PMI right. typically isn't $60 a month. It's usually quite a bit more for most folks.
It can be a lot more.
And not everyone gets offered a lender credit, right?
Exactly. If it all lines up and the numbers make sense, then like a general piece of advice that we do give, and like we would still give, we don't want you to pay an additional fee, essentially. Like that's how I view PMI. It's just like, man, even just the principle of it, I still don't like it. But at the end of the day, when I look at the numbers, I'm saying to myself, oh, this actually makes a lot more sense for me to go ahead and do this, even though it's going to be difficult. I mean, I feel like I'm kind of confessing here on the podcast that I will likely have PMI for the next couple of years, I guess, if we go through with buying this house.
It's a scarlet letter, Matthew.
That's what it feels like. But specifically, I'm willing to say that because at the end of the day, what do the numbers show? And the numbers show that it makes sense for us to go ahead and accept and eat this fee, because essentially it's getting paid for by the lender.
When I took out a loan on my Nissan Leaf, I felt like a fraud. I was like, who am I?
Really?
I've never bought a new car. I've never had a car loan. Like I had that, like one of those existential moments.
It's like some cognitive dissonance between what you've normally said, but then versus what the reality is showing on the ground with the numbers.
Exactly. Yeah. But when it comes down to it, you got to look at the numbers and you got to look at the reality, which is like, well, if you could afford to buy that car anyway and you can do more productive things with that money, then it's not a bad idea.
Yeah,
and so
exactly. Yeah.
We have to leave room for that nuance.
Exactly. So we have the money on hand to where we could come to the table with a full 20%. And in this case, we're choosing not to, similar to just like you. Like you could have paid cash for that vehicle, but like you said, a 0% loan, like that is something that is worth considering because, okay, what else could I do? And especially too, if you're going to have that money set aside, you know, maybe you're going to beef up your reserves a little bit more, your emergency fund a little bit more. That still keeps you in that strong position just in case something were to happen that you could quickly eliminate that.
Oh, the unique and quirky world of personal finance. There are so many things to consider, but I'm glad you shared one of those quirks with us today because it's something that I think we can all learn from and apply to our personal situations.
Absolutely.
All right, let's move on. Let's mention the beer we're having on today's episode. This one is called Eyinger Altbierisch Dunkel. I think I pronounced that wrong.
Very nice.
I might have mispronounced every single one of those words just now.
No, you got the Dunkel part right.
Okay.
I know that for a fact.
Well, this is a Bavarian dark lager. We'll give our thoughts at the end of the episode. But for now, Matt, we're talking prepping for a looming recession. And when I was thinking about this episode, I was, I don't know, for some reason it made me think about backup actors. And I never actually really did any acting myself. Did you? Were you in the drama school plays?
I was not a drama kid.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it just made me think that the person in that role, the person who is the backup actor, they're the understudy and they have to be prepared like they were going to take the stage that night, right?
That
like they're gonna.
Is true.
Let's say they're preparing for the main role in like a Shakespearean drama. You better prepare like you're actually going to be the person there on stage, even though the greater likelihood is that you're going to be sitting on the sidelines, right? And if you only halfway studied, let's say, the lines, you didn't really put much effort in at practice, then you're not going to be ready to shine in case the lead actor gets sick or injured. And so, yeah, while there's a chance you might never perform in front of a crowd on this specific production, you better prepare like you're going to be out there every single night for weeks to come. And so, yeah, I think of recession prepping the same way. Are we going to see a recession next year? Well, I don't really know. There are predictions going around saying that we will. We might or might not. Will we see one in the next 5 years? We could. But whether we do or we don't, we still need to prepare financially as though we're going to.
That's right.
And just like that understudy, you want to make sure that you're 100% ready just in case. Because, yeah, flubbing half your lines because you didn't prepare adequately, that sounds pretty stressful.
Exactly. Yeah. So the reason we're talking about this today, again, is because there's a good chance that you are hearing these rumblings, you know, these musings from the experts out there that we might be in for a bumpy economic ride. I mean, not just the United States, the whole world is feeling this way. Deutsche Bank, they just put out a warning that we're likely to see a recession next year. In a recent Wall Street Journal survey of economists shows a massive upward trend in the number of folks who are predicting an upcoming recession. And it kind of reminds me, too, of the joke that economists have correctly predicted 13 of the last 4 recessions.
If you call them often enough, eventually you're going to be right.
Yeah. Meaning that, like, the R word, it just gets overused. Even still, it is something worth talking about because one of the current signs point directly to this possibility, and that's the inverting of the yield curve. That happened recently. You might have seen that in the financial headlines recently as well. And the Fed, it will continue to raise rates in order to try and calm some of the inflation we've been seeing. This adds more risk. But what is it that you need to do? That's what we're talking about here today. We want to get granular on this topic. We want to give some specific steps that you should take in order to be prepared, whether we enter recession territory in a month or maybe not even for another decade. Who knows?
That's right. So I think that it's an important point to make, Matt, that we're not necessarily going into a recession, right? There are all these predictions. There are more headlines. There's more consensus around the idea that we might be closing in on a recession, but it doesn't mean...
It does not guarantee
that it's inevitable. Exactly. And so there's no need to freak out. That is not what this episode is trying to do, is to get you to freak out and stockpile food for the next 2 years because, you know, in your root cellar, Nick Majuli style, because he doesn't actually do that. I think I gave him a hard time on that episode. Too. I feel a little bad about that, but we had a good time. But yeah, while these predictions are being thrown around like hotcakes, that's not really our jam. We're not going to make any predictions here. We don't know. We'll claim uncertainty. But friend of the show, former guest Morgan Housel, he tweeted the other day, and I thought this was just a brilliant way of saying it. He said, "We're definitely heading towards a recession. The only thing that's uncertain is the timing, location, duration, magnitude, and policy response." And so, well,
aside from all of those things, this will 100% happen.
Exactly.
Guaranteed.
Yes. So basically, yes, it will happen one of these days. It's just we don't know when, where, how it's going to come about. And it's still worth being prepared for because historically we do experience a recession every 5.9 years. And then that brings up the question, I guess, Matt, people are like, you've been using this word recession a lot now early on in the show. What does that mean? You know, we had to define terms when we did crashes, corrections, and your reaction episode. So let's talk about that because a recession is when the economy hits a rough spot and stops growing. And we're officially in recession territory when that happens for 2 consecutive quarters or for 6 months total. And And you know, it's often that you don't know that you're in a recession in the middle of it. You find out based on data at the end of it, and you can kind of extrapolate or assume or predict, but it's hard to know really until the event is actually over.
Yeah, you know, it's not unlike someone trying to time the stock market, right? Like, so I remember having a conversation with a friend who was an investment advisor back in 2013. This is like, yeah, nearly 10 years ago. And after a couple of years of amazing growth, he was expecting for the market to significantly correct. Like, I don't specifically remember if he was saying that we should be expecting a bear market or anything like that. But regardless, he was saying that he wasn't going to be investing until things dropped back down. And, you know, like maybe he was able to time the market perfectly back in 2015, 2016, when things corrected a little bit, when the market was down, like only about, I think it was about 10%. But if you would have stopped investing back in 2013, when we were having this conversation, you would have missed out on over 20% growth during that period. You know, even if you had checked your rate of growth in the midst of some of those little declines there. So like aside from that, you would have been up like 30-40%.
And if you didn't even get in 2015, 2016, and you're still waiting for that decline,
you're missing out on over, you know, like hundreds of percent in growth. And so similar to the stock market, trying to time and to pinpoint exactly when a recession is about to hit is a really difficult endeavor.
That's right. That's why you and I, we don't want to prognosticate anything. One, we're not smart enough. And two, we don't think anybody's smart enough necessarily to do that. It's a fool's errand. But despite our inability to time a recession in order to optimize things, we think that folks should always treat their finances in a way that assumes that a recession could happen. And
you gotta treat it with respect.
That's right. You gotta know that you make hay while the sun shines, right? Realizing that negative things have the potential to arise in the future. And that's because it's not just broad economic trends that impact our finances, right? The economy might even keep roaring along, but you might still experience what we would call a personal recession. Or you could fall on hard times health-wise in your own life, or your spouse or partner has some health issues that arise, and you have to take time off of work to help care for them. Some steep medical bills that you have to pay for, or your monthly expenses might dramatically increase, or even Matt, take with rents going up across the country, someone might have a personal recession where their rent went up $200 a month and they weren't prepared for that. And so these are the kind of things.
Significant payment.
Exactly. That's a big increase in your monthly expenses. And so these are the kind of things that it's not just a macro level recession that could impact you. It's all these micro things that happen along the way. You could lose your job, you know, effectively eliminating the majority of your income altogether. Mm-hmm. And so basically, you know, a personal recession that specifically affects you and your family could come at any time. And, you know, even if the American economy continues to cruise along, even if wages are up, unemployment is low, it's wise to be prepared in your own life, in your own family, to make sure your personal finances are ready for whatever comes.
That's right. But the question still remains, what should you be doing? In what ways should you be preparing for an upcoming recession, whether it happens in the next year or the next 10 years? We will get to all of that right after this break.
Kachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Kachava really earns their 52,000 plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Kachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Kachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Kachava. Just go to kachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's kachava.com/howtomoney. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So, if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. And now a word from the show sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry, Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Joel, longer days and warmer weather, it means our family is spending a lot more time outside. It's great. Like, literally yesterday, I was in the front yard, Kate was in the garden, and I was kicking the soccer ball around with a couple of the kids. I'm loving it. But something else that you can do for your family this spring, shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius as part of your financial planning for the year. Kate and I both have policies in place, and that means we have peace of mind so that if something were to happen to either of us, our family can cover expenses while getting back on our feet.
Yeah, with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, by the way, it may not have enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. On top of that, Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance.
That's right. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
All right, we're back. We're still talking about recessions and the possibility that one comes in the near future.
There's a chance.
There's
it
a
might
chance.
Happen.
There's a definite chance. And
it's sort of like, hey, you're going to die. It's like, oh my gosh. Well, yeah, I guess we all die eventually.
Right.
Like it will happen at some point. We don't know when. We don't know how. Yeah.
And we still want you to get term life insurance just in case.
Absolutely.
Because
yeah.
Even if you're 32 and you know the actuarial tables show and your current health standing shows that there's a really low percentage.
It's very
chance.
Unlikely.
Yeah.
It will still happen.
Exactly. And so it's still wise to prepare for it.
Yeah.
So life insurance would be, yeah, I think a similar sort of thing. And there is good news here, Matt, before, if we do enter recession territory, fortunately, the American consumer, the American individual is kind of in good standing financially overall. Americans are sitting pretty in a lot of ways. One is just they have more cash on hand. Some estimates show that we've got $2.5 trillion in excess savings.
Trillion with a T.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Not billion, trillion.
That has been built up during the pandemic thanks to stimulus payments. Yep. and just people banking more of the money that comes in. And so savings habits really changed quite a bit during the pandemic, which makes sense, understandably so. The normal savings rate in the U.S., it's typically pitifully small. And so it's good to see a little bit of a change in the savings direction. But for the time being, everyone, it seems to be keeping that money socked away. And this bodes well for individuals and families. If, an overall macro recession hits or if a micro recession hits in your life, having cash on hand is key. And it's good to know that if a storm does kind of pop up on the horizon recession-wise, that people are, mostly prepared. They got their umbrella out.
For a second, I thought you were going to say having cash on hand is king. I thought you were going to say king, which I don't think that's something we've ever said.
Cash is king.
Because
cash is helpful.
Cash is helpful. And sometimes, depending on what you've got going on, having more cash on hand is smart. But a lot of times, oftentimes it seems that folks, you know, they've got too much cash on hand and they're not investing those dollars. It kind of just depends who you're talking to. But I thought you were going to say cash is king. But I mean, essentially, like, we're talking about some of the different reasons why you shouldn't be worried about a recession that might be looming on the horizon. And another one of those reasons, Joel, you just mentioned cash on hand. But another reason, too, is that the unemployment rate, it's almost at 3.5%. Which is essentially a 50-year low. There are still roughly about 2 jobs out there for everyone who is looking for a job. And so, yeah, you know, while the labor market, it's not perfect, it's kind of been a bright spot economically. And it's become easier for a lot of folks to bounce to another job in order to earn more money or, you know, even just to ask for a more meaningful raise from their current employer. At the very least, it means that most Americans can continue to count on a steady paycheck and obviously having that regular income. It's always a great thing, regardless if there's a recession coming or not.
Yeah. So even if the economy cools off, it's like, well, maybe there's just one job opening for every individual looking for a job. And so the economy has been running so well that just a slowdown that we might experience might not even indicate a recession. It might just indicate maybe a return to normalcy.
Normalcy.
So and another bright spot, Matt, is consumer demand, right? So, you know, one of the natural outcomes of lots of cash on hand that I talked about just a minute ago and more cash flowing into people's bank accounts, flowing into their lives is a willingness to spend more of the money that they've got.
And that's right.
Demand is still hot for so many items. We're talking about houses, cars, travel. You know, all of the demand in those sectors points to the fact that demand is intense, and we're not seeing signs of consumers curbing their spending in big ways. Not yet, at least. And so, in part, this consumer demand we're seeing is this pent-up demand that's, you know, finally able to be quenched because COVID has dropped off a cliff. And travel, for instance, right? This is an area that we literally weren't able to spend on most of the past 2 years. And so folks are itching to get back out there. They're spending their dollars that have been sitting idle in savings accounts. And so I think there is a bright spot here that people have the cash on hand and they are saving it, but they're also willing to spend on things that matter to them. And I think that bodes well for businesses, right, who are looking to hire, and the economy in general. The fact that there are dollars, that there is, you know, a thriving marketplace that people are engaged in, the average American consumer has a significant amount of optimism right now.
Yeah, certainly seems like it's a symptom that points to the health and the confidence that folks have with their financial situation. So we've highlighted the strength of the economy, you know, the fact that things are getting back to normal, jobs are plentiful, spending is strong. Let's talk about recessions and what it is that you should be doing right now. You know, because of the Fed's attempt to rein in inflation, we could see slower growth, which could halt this recovery that we're seeing. And so even though it remains anyone's guess as to, you know, what will actually happen and when that thing will happen, it's important to talk about what you should be doing in order to prepare for a recession. So the first thing that we want to talk about is shoring up your income. Specifically, we want you to firm up your position at your current job. So whether that means you are working from home, whether you're working in person, you want to make yourself indispensable. You know, if you feel like you're maybe a little off your boss's radar, it's worth scheduling a chat to make sure that you're living up to expectations, maybe even seeing, hey, what else could I take on? Like just kind of getting on the radar, seeing how it is that you could step up, how you can take a lead in future projects. Because if a recession does come along and you happen to work in an industry that gets hit hard, you want to be like the last person on the chopping block, right? Like you want to be the person where they're just like, well, certainly, like, I can't get rid of Joel because of, you know, like Joel does this instead.
Because he's really tall.
Yeah. Who's going to reach the toilet paper in the break room to be able,
that's what I'm good for.
Yeah, you got to keep all those things in mind.
But I think firming up your current job, Matt, makes a lot of sense. Making yourself indispensable, that's good advice. And then another thing to do is to try to get a raise, to try to make more money now so that you can be banking more money in the months ahead. And, you know, I know that lots of folks wish that pay bumps were just equal across the board, that you didn't have to fight to get more money, that it was just kind of standard cost of living bumps plus a little more on top of it. But the truth is that that's not the case. And the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And I'm not saying that you should whine and complain or pester your boss for a raise. Like, there's a way to do this, and then there's a way that's going to end up in you becoming actually the dispensable person at your job by being too much of a complainer. But pointing out the value that you're bringing to the table and equating that to a reasonable increase in salary, it's crucial to make sure that you're not leaving money on the table, especially in this environment where employees are incredibly valuable, where the labor market is offering a premium for workers who fight for themselves, who speak up for themselves. This is a great time to increase the amount of money that you're making.
That's right. Yeah. So like the way I like to view the world, or that I naturally view the world, is I agree. Like, I feel like you shouldn't have to be this weak wheel, right? Because in like the perfect world, markets are like perfectly efficient.
And people would recognize your accomplishments and reward you commensurately.
Exactly. So if like, hey, you are bringing more value to your boss or to your company, there should be a perfect and equivalent raise to your salary. But the fact is, that's just not how the world actually works. Like it does make me think of the efficient market hypothesis, where it's just like all data is available. And with the given data that more production is now happening at X company, you should see a proper raise. But the fact is, you also have your boss or your manager, because what they're trying to do is create as inefficient of a company as possible as well. And if they can keep you happy while keeping expenses low, well, then they win. They don't win, but like then they're the ones doing a really good job. And so I guess all that to say, you do have to advocate for yourself, and whether that's, you know, just being the squeaky wheel or finding other ways to kind of step up, that's what we want to see folks do.
Yeah. And so I think one other thing when it comes to income, Matt, because the first tip you mentioned was shore up your income. And I think another way to do that is to diversify your income. So if we're talking about a recession on the horizon, or even the possibility of you having a personal recession in your life, it's important to make sure that not all of your money is coming from one place. You know, one of our listeners, they recently sent us a message, and she said that she's trying to actively monetize her hobbies right now, if only to cut down on the costs of the things that she loves to do. And I loved hearing that mindset, Matt, that she's like, she's even thinking about in just some of those hobby pursuits, that she's like trying to make sure that she's not spending too much or that she's at least breaking even. But having those multiple streams of income is so helpful when the economy is starting to contract. Like it always sucks to lose your job, but it's way worse if that's the only income you have, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't have any other methods of making income, making money at your disposal, if you are a one-trick pony when it comes to income, if it literally only comes from one place and that's your W-2 job, then we would say start thinking about that now, finding other ways to not only save money, but potentially diversify the way money comes into your life. That's a smart way to prepare for a recession.
Absolutely, man. That is why we're such huge fans of real estate. We're not going to be the ones here that tells you that real estate investing, that it's a purely passive endeavor.
Right.
It does take a little bit of time, but way less than anything else out there. And so this is one of those areas where as you ramp up the amount of capital, the amount of money that you're able to put towards a side hustle, the less time that you're having to dedicate towards it. I see it as like the sliding scale. Like initially, a lot of times, like the thing that is available to anybody, it oftentimes requires the most amount of time, right? And oftentimes it doesn't require much money because there's a lot more folks out there who have time than money. But then as you kind of progress down that scale, the amount of money that is going to be required of you increases and the amount of time can oftentimes be reduced. Ultimately, you end up with just passively investing that money in the market, which literally requires no time. It's just the matter of getting that money in, buying that investment, and then just seeing it grow from there. But obviously, to be able to live off of that, it requires a lot more money. But so, you know, we're talking about what to do during a recession, and we kind of talked about some of the different ways that you can make sure that you still have money flowing into your life. Let's talk about your expenses, because when you are able to cut down your expenses, then you can keep money from flowing out of your life, right? And specifically, I want to talk about holding off on some big purchases. And so whether, you know, we're talking about an expensive month-long European vacation, maybe you're really fancy and you're thinking about buying a second home, like either way, making a big splash purchase like this that depletes your reserves, it's not wise if you're worried that a recession might be on the horizon. And regardless of what's going on with the economy, these are the types of expenses that you want to make sure that you've carefully planned for and that you've performed your due diligence, right? Not only to make sure that you're getting the best deal possible, but also to make sure that this is an expense that you can easily stomach. You want to be able to absorb these types of expenses in good or in bad, in lean times or in fat times.
Yeah, I don't think we're saying cancel that planned vacation that you have, but think long and hard. Like, do you actually have the expendable income to take it?
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't push you to the brink, right? Like, your finances shouldn't be, like, just dangling by a thread were you to, you know, go forward with whatever it is that you're thinking about.
Yeah, if you're taking money out of your home equity line of credit or put it on your credit card to pay for it, that's a scary sign. And so we would say, back away and wait to take a vacation until you can keep your emergency fund intact, until you can, you know, pay for it with cash on hand. And you know, another thing when it comes down to cutting down on expenses, Matt, is to save more on the little stuff. And it's funny, I'm kind of the guy who prefers to get the big things right and then not really sweat the small stuff. That's kind of my vibe. You know, for instance, we only have one super old car. That means my transportation expenses are so low. It allows me not to have to fixate on the smaller things. And I like to live life that way because otherwise I would be constantly worried about, you know, how much I'm spending with every single grocery store trip or whether I can afford that additional item I want to put in my cart. But that doesn't mean that those small expenses don't matter. And so, yeah, if you have trouble with some of those small expenses and you want to get back to focusing on them a little bit better, there's this app that I was recently made aware of called the Flip app, F-L-I-P-P. We'll link to it in the show notes. And so it helps you see all the retailer flyers in one place for that week. So that can help you maybe make better grocery lists, shop the sales so that you're not overspending on the little things. So you're doing a better job planning out your budget specifically at the grocery store itself with that. But there's flyers to other businesses too. But being able to see that in all in one place can help you make better plans. And really, when it comes down to it, yeah, those small things do add up. So finding little ways to save more at places that you shop regularly, we would say makes a lot of sense.
Nice, man. I don't think we've ever heard of that one. Another way that we can often hemorrhage money is through debt payments. And currently, Americans say that they are going into more debt than ever to pay for higher costs due to inflation. And so we want to encourage folks to do your best to only carry what a lot of folks will call good debt. Any debt is inherently bad, right? Because you're having to pay interest to a lender. But there are certain expenses where it makes more sense, you know, depending on what you're able to do with that money that you then free up. Specifically, we're talking about like a mortgage, student loans, but not too many student loans. I think that's a slippery slope for a lot of folks. But if you have debt, specifically with a variable interest rate, it's really important to start paying special attention to those. Credit cards, they're often the biggest culprits here, but the rate on your HELOC, your home equity line of credit, it's going to be heading north as well. But we should be looking to pare back on the number of these different debt obligations that we have now before a recession hits. Paying off debt, it's almost never a bad move, but with a recession potentially looming, it makes even more sense now.
Yeah, the one caveat I think I would say is just a low interest rate mortgage, and keeping more cash on hand just provides you maybe more security, and especially with inflation doing what it's doing now, putting more money towards that 3% mortgage makes very little sense. But for the most part,
we're not big fans of paying off your mortgage if that's something that, especially that if you've acquired in the past 3 years or if you've refinanced in the past 3 years.
That's right. Yeah, because it's still just incredibly low, and yeah, you're actually not in a bad position given the rate of inflation that we've got going on in the country right now.
Totally.
But it's those other debts, you're right, Matt, like especially credit cards, home equity lines of credit, as those rates go up, it's only going to make those debt payments go up. And so yeah, getting on the ball now to start getting rid of your debt makes sense in advance of a potential recession. And you know, one other thing that we would suggest everybody do, it's like an exercise we would say that all How to Money listeners should have done, is to create a bare bones budget. And we talked about that in depth actually back in episode 362.
Very nice.
But you don't necessarily need to, when you do this, to cut your spending to the bone right now, right? Because you're not currently in an emergency. Like, we're not currently in a recession. You haven't actually lost your job, hopefully. And here's the thing, it's never a terrible idea to cut back here and there, even when things are going good, in order to accelerate your path towards financial freedom, to increase your savings rate, to be able to put a little bit more aside in your Roth or your 401k. But at least that act of creating a bare bones budget and knowing that you can implement it in order to decrease your expenses at a moment's notice is smart. I think it's such a cool tool, because you might say, my monthly expenses right now are $3,400, but this bare bones budget says I can get by on $2,500. And so to know that at a moment's notice, you can switch over to this other budget and save $900 a month.
You can switch to eco mode.
it's exactly what it is. It's like eco mode for your car, that you can switch over there, start saving gas, and you know, it's not going to be as punchy and stuff like that. And obviously, you don't want to necessarily move over to that bare bones budget unless you have to. But having it, just having created it and knowing that you can do it, provides so much peace of mind and just then the ability to be able to thrive if a recession does come along, instead of continuing to struggle and finding ways to pare down then in the heat of the moment.
So I know specifically that when I said eco mode, I'm sure you're thinking about like an electric vehicle, like an actual EV. But did you know, like there are some actual internal combustion engine cars, ICE vehicles, that would sometimes run on fewer cylinders than, so it would be like a V8 that could run on like
my
on six cylinders
my
or
Civic
four cylinders.
Maybe
or
has
like
something like
oh,
that.
Oh, really?
Some sort of eco mode. I don't know if it actually takes a cylinder down
or
what it's doing.
I'm sure that's more like the transmission.
Okay,
where
gotcha.
It's less sporty or whatever, but there were literal, like, I think Cadillac back in the day, they had cars, they had engines that on the highway you could switch it over and it would literally shut down some of the cylinders. And so it was kind of like a bare bones, super fuel efficient way. But that's kind of what we're talking about here doing, you know, with your money.
Because once you've got it up to speed, it's like you don't
it's
really...
It's kind of easy. You're you're cruising along, you're keeping it going. Like it reminds me too, like it makes me think of working out. And so if I'm working out, like, do I need to be able to squat like hundreds of pounds? No, but I know that I'm now capable of doing that, and that's what a bare bones budget does. It lets you know what you're capable of. When the situation arises that I do need to like move some furniture or something like that, I know what I'm capable of, right? I'm going to be more prepared. I'm going to be less likely to hurt myself too. But that's what we're talking about with the bare bones budget here.
That's right. All right, but we got to still talk about what to do with your investments. That's something that people want to know ahead of time too. Is like, well, do I need to change my investing style? Do I need to, you know, reallocate some of my money before or if a recession hits? Well, we'll talk about that right after this. Kachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Kachava really earns their 52,000 plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Kachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Kachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Kachava. Just go to kachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's kachava.com/howtomoney. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So, if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simons on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you're listening to this podcast right now and you're a small business owner, listen up. Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're actually choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers. They do everything from hyper-targeting best fit prospects through campaign optimization. Upswell Marketing's unique approach includes direct mail, search engine marketing, and social media ads, and has fueled more than 10,000 small business success stories. Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies. Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
All right, we are back, and we are let's continue talking about what you're going to do with your money were a recession to hit. And Jill, you asked this question, you posed this question right before the break, but let's go ahead and answer it, because regardless of what state the economy is in, we're always going to invest the exact same way that we would normally. That is specifically in widely diversified, low-cost index funds. Instead of changing your investment allocation because a recession seems likely, we would rather you have the right investment allocation now. It's a good idea to know how much risk tolerance you are comfortable with before a recession hits, so that you don't buy, so that you don't sell in a way that locks in your losses to where you end up losing a lot of money.
It's kind of like going to a theme park and you're like, I'm not sure if I like upside down roller coasters or not, but you sit on one anyway and then you freak out. It's better to know your risk tolerance before you get strapped in and like they have to forcibly remove you from the ride.
Well, not forcibly. It's as if you rode the roller coaster and then you had the option to unbuckle or like hit some sort of eject button.
Yeah.
And surely that would be, you know, when you're on the loop-de-loop or whatever, that would be a terrible time to bail from the roller coaster. And so luckily, that's not something you're capable of doing, but you can do that with your investments, that's kind of a terrible thing.
And a lot of people do end up doing that because they didn't prepare properly on the front end.
Yeah, they're not properly strapped in. it reminds me of something that a famous investor, Peter Lynch, he once said this, and that is that more money has been lost by folks preparing for a recession, assuming that it was coming soon, than was actually lost because of the recession itself. And man, we feel that he is totally spot on here. Truly, it's thinking that we can outsmart or get timing right on shifting things around. Those are the bigger things at risk here than the recession itself, at least in regards to our specific investments.
It makes me think of the story you told earlier about your friend. And he's like, I'm going to wait until the market takes a dip. And it's like, cool, you can try and maybe you'll be successful, but most of the time you're not. And most of the time people, like you said, with that Peter Lynch quote, lose money because they're trying to outsmart. And yeah, I mean, a recession, while it might happen next year and we might see a correction in the market, and that's not a bad thing. That's a buying opportunity for long-term buy and hold investors. It's still not something that you can actively anticipate. You kind of got to keep going the course, recession or not.
Yeah. Over the long haul, the market tends to go up more than it goes down.
That's right.
So you should continue to buy.
And you mentioned the word risk there just now, Matt. And I think that's another important part of this is when it comes to our investing strategy is finding ways to eliminate unnecessary risk. And now is the perfect time to rethink whether or not you want to consider investing, let's say, into any more speculative assets. We're typically comfortable with no more than 5% of your overall portfolio in your favorite company stock or some cryptocurrency or even an NFT, like if you happen to really love a particular artist. But keeping it small, we would say, is crucial because some of those more volatile assets,
very small,
they could see wilder downward swings if a recession comes along. It's been particularly easy to misjudge your risk tolerance given the bull market that we've been on for more than a decade, especially if you're a younger investor and you don't even remember the downturn of the 2008, 2009, 2010 era. And so Vanguard,
it's like, what are you talking about? I've only seen my investments go up dramatically in value over the past 12 years.
That's right. It's been easy to think that, like, well, who saves money because investments only go up all the time.
Yeah.
But that's,
I feel like 2020
doesn't even
register anymore because it happened so quickly.
It was such a blip.
It was such a quick rebound that it's almost as if, and granted, a lot of that was artificially imposed with lockdowns and just the fear of the virus. But it's almost as if there was no lesson to be learned there because of how quickly it did bounce back, or how quickly the market specifically bounced back.
Well, it's important to know that those downturns can and are often more prolonged than that. Like that short-lived of a downturn. I mean, that's the most rapid stock market recovery we've had in the history.
Oh, yeah.
In the history of stocks. And so Vanguard actually has this helpful quiz that you can take to get a more accurate idea of your own risk tolerance. We'll put the link to that in the show notes, but I think it's helpful. It's like 11 questions. And I actually took the quiz, Matt. I wanted to know, all right, what does Vanguard say my risk tolerance is? And they were like, you should probably be 100% invested in stocks because you're totally cool with the risk. And they ask you some really good questions. And I was like, well, funny enough, Vanguard, that's exactly my allocation. But
interesting that you say that.
But you might find out by answering certain questions that your risk tolerance is not as robust maybe as mine. And so you might find that you should have a different portfolio set up in advance of things getting rocky. And that's better, right, than hitting that eject button in the middle of the roller coaster to strap on really before it even gets started.
Man, that makes me think of, I think this is like a prank video or something that was fed to me one time, but it was this guy who got on a roller coaster, like next to a stranger. You know, like sometimes you get partnered with somebody and you don't know who's sitting next to you. And after they had strapped in, you know, the things came down over their chests and like basically the roller coaster had launched. Like maybe it had like, it started going up the big ramp. The guy like reached into his pocket and pulled out like this giant bolt. It was just like, oh my gosh, what's this? And the guy next to him just like completely started flipping out, which is kind of a mean trick. But like, that's what I picture. That's what I think of when you think about the eject button, because that guy wanted off before that thing took that massive plummet, afraid that, you know, his restraints were going to be loosened. But you know, like what we're talking about here basically is like some mental preparation, right? Like if you know that you're the kind of person who's likely going to make changes based on some of these day-to-day news events or even like month to month, right? Because recessions, like it might last a while. You need to make sure that you ingest a lot less news. And if you aren't willing to stay the course, despite the difficulty, you likely need to make changes before a recession occurs so that you can stay the course without wavering. But for most folks, though, the best course of action, assuming that you are invested, is probably inaction, right? Like just like with a bare bones budget, you want to prepare, you want to forecast what it might be like in the future. And that's what we're doing here with your investments. You want to picture yourself, you're forecasting, you're saying to yourself, if this were to happen, what would I do? What kind of situation would I be in? You want to place yourself mentally in the future and make sure that you make the changes now while your feet are like firmly planted on ground that you're comfortable with.
Yeah, it makes me think one of my friends, Matt, for some reason, he has this obsession. Every time he goes to a restaurant or something like that, he thinks, what happens if an active shooter shows up here? And what am I going to do? What's my reaction to be? What's the quickest route of escape?
Are you talking about me?
No. Do you do that too?
I think about it. Okay. Like it's not something that like...
That's like one of the first things he does. He makes a plan of action.
So
like, how would I get out? Would I run out through the kitchen? Would I kick open this window?
It's smart, but at the same time, like, should it completely change your dining experience? And hopefully that's what you're getting to. It shouldn't change everything about your dining experience. I think it's important to be aware of that kind of thing.
Well, it's something that never crosses my mind. And so if it happened, I would be, my jaw would drop and I would have no idea how to proceed.
Right.
But for him at least, like maybe it has gotten to an extreme level, but at least he would have a plan. He would know what to do. He would know where he was going if you know, things got bad.
Yeah, it's worth thinking through just in the same way. It's worth thinking through, you know, what a recession might be like and what it might look like for your finances, you know, or your investment portfolio to take a 50% plunge. Like it's worth thinking through,
yes.
Even though you hope that it obviously never happens.
Right. And it makes me think that, but it doesn't at least prevent him from going out to eat. Like he still goes,
good.
But he's always got a plan to bust somebody up in the event that it's necessary.
There you go.
But it's one of the last pieces of advice we want to give on this episode is to don't deviate from your larger plans. I think if that possibility prevented him from going out to eat.
And enjoying his conversation with his partner or his friends. Yeah, that'd be tough.
It's overtaken his life too much at that point. And so I think recessions, they can cause people to panic and to change up their strategy. But if you're in the wealth building stage of your life, then continuing to save and invest the way that you have been up until this point, it continues to make sense. It continues to be the best path forward. Nothing is ever 100% certain for any of us in any given day. You know, no one was even talking about a recession just 6 months ago. That was the farthest thing from economists' minds, from any of our minds. But world events, they've created some changes that have made a bumpy economic future a little more likely. And that doesn't mean that it should impact you in any meaningful way, aside from the things that we've talked about on this episode. And in fact, if you can weather a recession well, you'll likely have the ability to buy more stocks, to invest more at depressed prices, which
That's
ends
right.
up helping you build wealth over the long haul. So it's one of those things that this potential shouldn't cause you to freeze up, shouldn't cause you to panic. Have a plan, but don't let it necessarily impact the things that you're doing already. Keep moving forward. Keep proceeding towards those goals that you're already working towards.
Exactly. You don't want it to keep you from enjoying your beer or enjoying your dinner out.
That's right.
I mean, ultimately, preparing for recession and just solid personal finance management are very similar in our book. It's wise to be cognizant of these macro trends at play, but you also don't want to live your life in fear that a recession like that is just always lurking around the corner. Like we said, there's always someone out there predicting doom and gloom.
I can name a few, actually. I think what the guy, Robert Kiyosaki, he's predicting a recession every single year. And you know what? maybe he'll be right one of these years. Yeah. But he's wrong so many times. But if you listen to those naysayer voices, it's like you're always going to be looking around the corner and not doing the things you need to be doing because of the doom and gloom folks.
Yeah, and he's made a living doing that, right?
Right.
But the more debt that you pay off, the more savings you accrue, the less likely that you'll have cause to worry about any of this. Making more of an impact at your job, finding another stream of income, these can also provide some peace of mind as you shore up the amount of money that's flowing into your life. It's just basically looking at all the different, you know, it's like a risk assessment session where you're sitting down and you're thinking, okay, where's my money coming from? All right, how do I make sure that that's solid? Where does my money go? How do I make sure to plug any of those leaks or that I know if things were to hit the fan that I can plug up leaks in a certain way? And when it comes to my investing, is that within a portfolio? Is that within an investment that can that I am comfortable withstanding seeing some, you know, some ups and downs, some of that volatility? That is what we've talked through today, and hopefully we've given you some good food for thought as we may or may not enter a recession. But hopefully this gives you a good framework to assess and to analyze what you should be doing with your money.
Yeah. All right. One more analogy, one more example. It makes me think of,
We got the going out to dinner scenario. We got the roller coaster. We got the understudy. We got the working out one.
Yeah, let's keep going.
We got too many analogies during this episode.
No, we need one more. That's for sure.
All right. Let's hear it.
Not enough. So this reminds me of, just a couple of weeks ago, I got to go to the Masters,
uh-huh.
like the most prestigious golf tournament, Matt, in your hometown with a buddy, and it was super fun. But we were standing on hole 15. I was standing on hole 15 with a couple buds, and a golf ball, ended up 5 feet from where we were standing. And in
nice.
A pine straw, or like actually in this like mud pile.
Oh.
So it was like not an ideal place to hit a shot. The guy, I don't want to go too far with this analogy, but he got to move the ball actually a club length away. Yeah, he got a
mm-hmm.
drop. And it, you know, the planning that goes into these guys attacking the golf course, they're reading the greens. They're out there before the tournament even begins. He couldn't have predicted necessarily that he was going to end up in this exact spot on the course, 5 feet from where I was standing. While I was heckling him. No, I wasn't heckling. You're not supposed to do that in golf. But hitting it out of the pine straw towards the green. But he still, all of that other planning really came in handy. His shot was incredible. Like it was anybody else would have hit 52 branches on the way to the green. This guy somehow snaked it through everything. It was impressive. But it really is. It's all that preparation that came in clutch in a moment of difficulty on the course for this guy. So I don't. Maybe it's not a great analogy.
No, it's good. Yeah, right. He practices not hoping that he will end up in the rough or end up in some mud, but he practices so that were that situation to arise, like that's why you work on your whatever. I don't know what club you used. I wasn't there, but like that's why he used his wedge. You know, to like
work. He's using an iron, man. He had to go like 190 yards.
Oh, holy crap!
Through, yeah, it was nuts.
Like a, I don't know, 190 yards. What is that? Like a 4-iron or something?
Yeah,
like that?
I think it was. Something.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's not something you hope happens, but hopefully you have the skill and it's something that you've practiced and you've rehearsed in your mind to be able to tackle. But let's go ahead and shift gears and get back to the beer that you and I enjoyed during this episode. This was an Altbayerisch Dunkel. I think that's how the Germans say it.
Okay.
I just kind of made that up. So I will say, we've never talked about this before. This isn't, so it's an alt beer. So that's what the Altbayerisch stands for. And some folks might know that my last name is Altmix, and in German, alt means old, and technically mix. So what we think the original spelling was M-I-K, and a mick is, from what I understand, it's a stage during the beer brewing process. And so if you combine alt, which is old, to a mick, I mean, what is that? How do you read that? I read that as old ale, and I believe that like brewing beer is just in my bones. That might be like my fourth career change or something like. Might switch to brewing beer, but this is an Altbayerisch. Obviously this is from my dad's side, the Germans. I don't look very German, but I look a little bit more like a Korean from my mom's side, but yeah, this is a Dunkel. Technically I guess this is a dark lager, but what were your thoughts on this one?
Okay, well,
sorry, I just saw the, I don't know if we've ever had an alt beer on the show before, because
that's
a European style.
Well, I appreciate the insight for everyone out there to your name.
A little bit of history there on
the old man myth, the legend.
The old ale.
I'm going to call you old man because you're alt man.
Sounds good, man.
Well, so this is a beer style, Matt, that you and I, we don't really drink very often. I thought it was refreshing. It was light, but still flavorful. I think the dark Bavarian lager is just kind of a clutch style, and
it's nice.
It's one that I want to ingest more of. So this was a good example. It's kind of a classic example, a brewery that's been doing it for a long time, but yeah, I dug it. What'd you think?
Yeah, totally. No, it was a great change of pace. This is, like you said, it's not a style that we often have, but it was really good. It was novel in that sense. it wasn't the standard New England hazy IPA that we are often fond of having. But this is like one of those classic beers that you often see on the shelf and you're like, what is that? It just looks like some old generic European beer that's been around for hundreds of years, blah, blah, blah. But it's actually good. I like that we're starting to, it's not that we never branched out before. It's just that there were so many options surrounding us and we're just like, oh, I want to try this barrel-aged sour. Oh, I'm going to try this, you know, Russian Imperial Stout with cocoa nibs and chili peppers in it. But oftentimes it can be good to go back to some of the classics. And I think we've kind of been doing that a little bit more lately.
Sure.
But yeah, really enjoy this one. And we would recommend for folks who are, maybe if you're first getting into beer, this would be a very approachable style, yeah. Right? Because it's really malty. If you like bread, you know, like whole wheat bread, it's kind of got this dark flavor going on with
for
it.
Sure.
I would totally recommend this Eyinger Altbeerisch Dunkel.
Awesome. Yeah, and this should be on the shelves pretty much wherever you
I would think so.
Shop for beer.
Yeah.
So it's
nationwide.
Kind of a classic. I think the Eyinger has a few different beers that they brew, but I really dug this one. So yeah. All right,
it was tasty.
That's going to do it for this episode. For folks who want the show notes for this episode, well, you can find those up on our website at howtomoney.com.
That's right. So that's going to be it for this episode. Until next time, Joel.
Best friends out.
Best friends out. Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health. With great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine. Or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit, April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Rocket Mortgage, official partner of the NFL Draft.